Going to invite the young folks to gather around. I know there were some here, most of them are up front. But if those that are not, or even those that are, just come and gather around for a few moments. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. It's a small world after all. Oh. So then, this is the last time, isn't it? Huh? I'm going to miss you folks. I really am. You want to see me Friday? I want to see me Friday. Oh, you will see me Friday. Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, I would. I'm going to be here Friday. Yeah, I'm going to miss this time together. You know how all this started, don't you? Because I owe you folks a really big thank you. Do you know that? Because one of the things that most clergy fear the most is the children's sermon. You would be amazed how many priests freeze over it. And I used to do the same. And I used to agonize over, what do you talk about, you know? I'd give him a theological lecture on the, you know, transubstantiation and all those other wonderful things. And do you know what cured me? First of all, it was a priest in Williamsport, a good friend of mine who long since retired. And I said, so how do you do a children's sermon? And he said, I asked one of them to bring in a brown paper bag with something in it. And the only rule is it mustn't be dead. And it mustn't bite. Right? And he didn't know what it was. So they would bring this brown paper bag and he'd put his hand in and out, and then he had to preach a sermon on whatever was in the bag. And I thought, I could try that. Well, it lasted about 2 weeks. But then I thought, you know what? I don't need the bag. I don't need the bag. We can just have a chat. Because this bit here is all about relationship. It's all about feeling comfortable with who we are and what we are. And knowing that God loves us and that no matter whatever happens in our lives, that will always be so. And so it just became a freewheeling thing and you folks made it easy. Because you're the ones who really tell the children's sermon. You're the ones who really tell the children's homily. So I want to thank you for that. That will always be your gift to me. I'm just saying that. That's all I'm saying. That's all I've got to say. I'm done now. Okay. You can say anything you like now. Within reason, of course. That's all. That's it. Finished. Ixnay on the sermonay. So did you bring the treats? Did you go trick-or-treating?
Oh, yeah.
You did? And you didn't bring it?
No, my brother and I got 20 pounds.
You got 20 pounds and you didn't bring any here?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Christian charity? £20 of it?
Oh, yes.
What they were doing? Wheeling and putting it around on wheels? Huh? You put it in this bag. Well, where's the bag?
In
your
parents' room.
In your parents'. So they've got it.
Oh,
now we get it. They don't trust you. Well, I wouldn't trust them either if I was you. I see. Well, don't go away. I've got to get up first. Wait a minute. You can thank Mrs. Casey for this idea, and I think it was a brilliant idea, because I know we like our Hershey Kisses, right? Right? So, £20. Did you get anything, Jackson? Did you go trick-or-treating? Did you get some stuff? You did. What about you, Maeve? And what about the rest of you? 280. Okay, parents, there's a scripture lesson we're missing here. Right? Okay, so this is for each one of you. Right? And a thank you for what you've done for me and what you do for all the people of St. Edward's. Right? Okay, there you are, Jackson. £20. Just between me and him. Yes. £20.
Yeah. Thank you.
£21. Off you go. Thank you all, both of you. All three of you. You used to come up there, didn't you? There's one for you as well, Thomas, if you want it. I'm going to put those under there. Thank you. Ah, right. £20. God. How do you go through £20 of chocolate? With ease, I suppose. I had seriously thought, well, I thought, maybe I didn't think seriously, but I thought, for a moment, when I was going to write this sermon, of the last words of the gospel, which I understand in the authorized version are, loose him and let him go. And then I thought, maybe not. So instead, I chose the text which, frankly, has always meant a lot to me. It's a text I use a lot at burials. And seeing it's All Saints, it seemed a fitting one. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." In my homily at the Wednesday noonday service this past Wednesday, the eve of All Saints, I reminisced about the time I visited Paris, when Emily was studying a year abroad. Now, I know there is someone in the congregation who is French, so I ask their forgiveness in advance on how I pronounce French names. I am, after all, English, and we've had this situation with the French for about 1,000 years. But anyway, there are two famous cemeteries in Paris, Père Lachaise and Montparnasse, where many famous people are buried. People such as the writers Oscar Wilde, Honoré de Balzac, Guy de Maupassant, and Simone de Beauvoir, along with composers Georges Bizet, Frédéric Chopin. In fact, there's a wonderful, when you go there, I think he is in Père Lachaise, right behind Chopin's grave is the grave of a World War I French Air Force fighter pilot. And I've often wondered what kind of conversation they have. And in Montparnasse, Sanson is buried there. I spent hours walking in these cemeteries, looking at the graves and tombs, and trying to imagine what life must have been like in those far-off times. Cemeteries, of course, reminders of churches. Once, when having visited Elizabeth, when she was studying theatre at Juniata College, I returned to Lancaster by what I call the scenic route, not the usual way where you go to Lewistown and then you pick up 322. That's a good way if you want to get stopped by the police, which I did once. I didn't get a ticket, thankfully. He just said, "For God's sake, will you just slow down?" You know. But there's another route that sort of winds along the river. It's a merry road, I call it, a merry road and a mazy road that wanders along the river through many tiny hamlets until you come to Thompson Town, where there is a small Episcopal church with a sign outside which declares it is the oldest religious building in Juniata County. Cemeteries are important places. When you go out to your car later on today, look across the fields. There's a cemetery. That's Claire Landis's family. It goes back 3-4 generations. When you go to the health campus, there's a cemetery right on the side of Harrisburg Pike. Go down Rorestown Road, and there's a cemetery, I know, right near the traffic lights where you turn left to go to Subway. Favorite set of traffic lights there. But on the right, there's a cemetery, an old, old cemetery. Cemeteries are important places. Else we wouldn't have them. Because they help us focus on the memory of loved ones who have died. They are the means by which we locate ourselves not only in our past, but in our present and future also. Above all, cemeteries and memorials of the dead help us own our own mortality. For where they are, we one day will be. This past week, my niece, the daughter of my eldest sister who died some years ago, made a brief visit to this country. I have not seen her. We've not seen each other for several years. So we spent what time we had catching up with stories of our parents who are now numbered among the saints in light. As I have remarked before, we tend to think of history as a movement of great events and famous people. But the most moving thing of all is not the thought of well-remembered saints, but of the innumerable millions of faithful men and women, each with their hopes and fears, their joys and sorrows, their sins and temptations, who have left little or no trace in the world, but yet in their lives, in their time, have remained faithful to their families, their communities, above all to God in Christ. They are, as one theological writer once described, the plebs sancta Dei, the holy common people of God. On this Sunday, when we read out the names of our loved ones, it is these holy common people of God we remember. But there is more to All Saints than memorializing those who have gone before. The gospel lesson for this festival, the raising to life again of Lazarus, is a reminder that God in Christ has not only conquered death, we shall rise again at the consummation of time, so we believe. But that God in Christ is constantly making all things new, creating new life. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Well, having announced my retirement several months ago, and now having seen it on the front page of the Lancaster newspaper, I suppose it's going to happen. When I began to consider what my last Sunday might be, it was a clergy colleague who suggested the Sunday after All Saints. Who could have known back then that on this Sunday, in the diocesan cycle of prayer, we would be praying for St. Paul's Lockhaven, the church I left to come here? I remember when I left St. Paul's, sharing with Mike Creighton, who was the bishop then, that I hoped the congregation would be all right. I fretted about it. I worried about them. And in Mike's very quiet way, you know, one of the things that whenever I have to tell this story, there's another thought that comes to my mind. We had this discussion in the diocese, about when Mike Creighton was bishop, I think, or when Nathan became bishop. We thought, wouldn't it be a good idea? You know, you have these voices on GPSs. You know, the GPS which says, you know, turn right at this, or the ones we like are the ones that can't pronounce the names, you know, like Collybrook Road for Colebrook, or what was the one that we were seeing, Philadelphia or something, what else? Anyway, we thought, wouldn't it be a good idea if that voice mirrored the personality of the driver? Think about it. Isn't that a great idea, you know? So for Mike Creighton, it would be, it's okay, Michael. You're going to turn right in a few minutes, but it's all right. It's a good turn. You'll be able to do it, you know. Or for Nathan Baxter, it might be, now we're going to turn left at the next traffic light. Have you heard the story about the man who turned left at this traffic light? And of course, for me, it would be, now when you come to this junction, you're going to go straight on. Now, there's a history about this junction that you might be interested in, right? Well, I remember when I left St. Paul's, sharing with Mike Creighton that I hoped the congregation would be all right. And in his very quiet way, he asked me when St. Paul's was founded. Well, I fell into the trap, didn't I? This question brought forth the historian in me, and I began to propound the history of the parish, how it was founded in the 19th century, and how Phillips Brooks, the author of O Little Town of Bethlehem, preached the consecration sermon just after the Battle of Gettysburg, and I went on and on and on. And then, very gently, he interrupted my flow of thought, and he said, so it's been around a long time then. And I said, yes. He said, so they must have seen many clergy leave and be replaced. And I said, yes, yes. He said, then don't worry. God will take care of them. You have other things to think about. Well, St. Edward's is not as old as St. Paul's, Lockhaven, but when I look around, it's probably working its way there. St. Paul's is merely 37 years old. Yet it's old enough to have a history. Earlier this week, I learnt that one of the founder members, Stuart Pindell, died. To be sure, there are others who are around. Some of them were at 8 o'clock. Some of you may be here now. There are those who are still with us and those who have moved on. My point is that we who are here are their legacy. So my prayer for you is that you will be faithful to this legacy, so God in Christ can continue to make all things new in you. You know, one of the profound privileges of being a parish priest is that we are invited into the lives of people in ways most other professions are not. Throughout my time at St. Edward's, I've baptized you, I've married you, and I've buried you. I've watched you grow up, and I've been with you as we grow old.
I have accompanied you in health and been with you in sickness. I have held you in your grief and celebrated with you in your joys. So let me thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your lives. It is the most treasured of gifts. So on this, my last Sunday, after 20 years ministry in this place, over half its history, think about that. Having performed 109 baptisms, 27 weddings and 60 funerals, thank God the funerals don't outnumber the baptisms. Although I have to admit, when I came here, there was only one person in the memorial garden, and now there are 22 plus one goldfinch and a cat. As I said to somebody not too long ago, I think I'm slowly killing them off. Not to mention confirmations, 20 Christmases, 20 Easters. It is time for us to part. We have done much together. We've built a parish hall so that we could celebrate and expand our ministry to allow others to use our facilities. Anyone who served with me on vestry knows my mantra. God forbid the church should ever burn down, would anybody miss you? And if the answer is no, you've not been doing your ministry. Parish Hall helps you do that. We've become a center of the arts, with concerts and piano recitals. We fulfill our civic duty through the church being a polling station. If you want to think, if you're thinking of coming to the church on Tuesday, think again. And through the generosity of many people, and time, and talent, and treasure, we play our part in the life of the church universal. You, the people of St. Edward's, can feel justly proud of what we have achieved together. You have come of age as a congregation, as a church, as the ecclesia, the people of God. So as Michael Creighton said to me, do not worry, so I offer Mike Creighton's words to you. Do not worry. Place your trust in God in Christ, who makes all things new, and who will take care of you. Be faithful. Be faithful to this church that when you came into it embraced you. Be faithful to yourselves as well as to each other. Trust your leadership from your bishop down to your vestry and lay leaders. I can honestly say, in 20-odd years, I have had wonderful vestries. We've always got along. We've always done our work, but enjoyed ourselves. They've put up with me, and I've celebrated with them. So trust them. They do good work. They've done good work. And they will continue to do good work. Do not be tempted to manipulate the system. I say to ordinands, to those who come in front of me in the examining chaplains, to those who I've met, that I mentor, don't try and manipulate the system. It's been around for 2,000 years, thank you very much, and it works very well without you tinkering with it. Trust the system. But be gentle with each other. and in humility serve God in Christ as he loves and serves you. For you have much ministry to do in this place. And don't worry about Raylan and me and Emily and Elizabeth. We'll get by. We'll be fine. And we'll bump into each other in Stouffer's or Wegmans or wherever we find ourselves in this county and in this church. But continue to serve God in Christ as he loves and serves you. For you have much ministry to do in this place. This could be the most exciting time this church has ever known. For it is in Christ and through Christ that all things are made new. So, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.